Above the soles are the feet, and above the feet are the calves. Above the calves are the knees, and above the knees are the thighs. Thus, the parts of the universal body, one after another, are described herein. The knees are the place of birds, and above that are varieties of air. The birds can fly over the mountains, and above the birds are varieties of air. I'll hope that someone will do a seminar soon about how the knees are the place of birds, but this morning it's not going to happen. I'll just read the translation of the succeeding verses in this section. This is text 24. Bali Maharaj saw beneath the garments of the Lord, who acts wonderfully, the evening twilight. In the Lord's private parts he saw the Prajapatis, and in the round portion of the waist he saw himself with his confidential associates. In the Lord's navel he saw the sky. On the Lord's waist he saw the seven oceans, and on the Lord's bosom he saw all the clusters of stars. So when, just a thought here, when Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna, he said to Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, you may now behold it in this form of mine. Right? So this is Bali Maharaj's vision. This is what he's seeing. And this is text 25 through 29. They're all clumped together. My dear king, on the heart of Lord Murari, he saw religion. On the chest, both pleasing words and truthfulness. In the mind, the moon. On the bosom, the goddess of fortune with a lotus flower in her hand. On the neck, all the Vedas and all sound vibrations. On the arms, all the demigods headed by King Indra. In both ears, all the directions. On the head, the upper planetary systems. On the hair, the clouds. In the nostrils, the wind. On the eyes, the sun. And in the mouth, fire. From his words came all the Vedic mantras. On his tongue was the demigod of water, Varunadev. On his eyebrows were the regulative principles. And on his eyelids were day and night. When his eyes were open, it was daytime, and when they were closed, it was night. On his forehead was anger, and on his lips was greed. O king, in his touch were lusty desires. In his semen were all the waters. On his back was irreligion, and in his wonderful activities or steps was the fire of sacrifice. On his shadow was death. In his smile was the illusory energy, and on the hairs of his body were all the drugs and herbs. In his veins were all the rivers. On his nails were all the stones. In his intelligence were Lord Brahma, the demigods, and the great saintly persons. And throughout his entire body and senses were all living entities, moving and stationary. Bali Maharaj thus saw everything in the gigantic body of the Lord. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shilakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nothing is lacking in the form of Krishna. Krishna has everything, everything we can imagine, and beyond everything we can imagine. Krishna's got it all, to the max. This is a description of his form and the different parts of his form, how they all relate to different things. One thing that I thought was interesting in the word for word that didn't come up in the running translation. He's talking about his eyelids and his tongue as the demigod of water. And, oh yeah, his eyebrows were the regulative principles. How can someone's eyebrows... But this, we're talking about Krishna here. And it says here in the Sanskrit, nishedham, the word warnings, translated as warnings. So like, you know, if you're about to do something bad, and all your mother has to do is raise her eyebrow, don't do that. That's the only way I can understand that. Everything is there in the body of Krishna. And this is what Bali Maharaj is seeing. So as I said, today is a day of large manifestations of Krishna up in the sky. This is what Bali Maharaj is seeing. I can't begin to imagine what it was like for Bali Maharaj to see, or anyone there, to see this gigantic form of Krishna up in the sky. Later it's described how when this form is understood to be Lord Vishnu by the demons, he's got his bow, he's got his Sudarshan Chakra, then they're a little upset. But it doesn't talk about what their reaction is to seeing this sizable form in the sky before them. Today is the appearance day of Lord Varaha, another sizable form of Krishna up in the sky, another form that it would be hard for me to imagine seeing. Just, you know, you wake up, there's some big boar holding some planet coming up. I wanted to read this section because it's his day. This is from the third canto. The appearance of Lord Varaha. There's a lot of description here of the appearance of Lord Varaha, and then later on, the fight between Varaha and Hiranyaksha. I don't know if there's any other place in the Bhagavatam devoted to so much real estate describing the fight of the Lord with somebody. But there's a lot of it here. I'm just going to read about his appearance, because even his appearance is mind-blowing. What to speak about him fighting with somebody? This is Maitreya speaking. He said, he's speaking about Lord Brahma. This is the Canto 3, Chapter 13. Sri Maitreya said, "Thus, seeing the earth merged in the water, Brahma gave his attention for a long time to how it could be lifted. Brahma thought, while I have been engaged in the process of creation, the earth has been inundated by a deluge and has gone down into the depths of the ocean. What can we do who are engaged in this matter of creation? It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us." So sometimes you might be cooking, you've got a few different preps on, you've got milk in one pot, you've got your chapati griddle, you've got your dal, and then whoops, you turn your head for a minute and the milk boils over. So this is Brahma. You can have some sympathy for Brahma. His planets are boiling over. They're going down. And now he's got to figure out how to get it out of wherever it went. And I remember when I was younger, my family used to spend 2 weeks up in the Adirondacks at this one lake called Seventh Lake. It was a very deep lake. And the bottom of this lake was very mucky. And if you lost anything in that muck, you're finished. So the earth has gotten lost in the muck here. Now what to do? Lord Brahma can't figure it out. It is best to let the Almighty Lord direct us. Short purport, I like it. Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord, who are all confidential servitors, are sometimes perplexed in the discharge of their respective duties. Ever feel perplexed in the discharge of your duties? But they are never discouraged. They have full faith in the Lord, and he paves the way for the smooth progress of the devotee's duty. So have full faith. O sinless Vidura, all of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small form of a boar came out of his nostril. The measurement of the creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb. So something came out of his nose. O descendant of Bharat, while Brahma was observing him, that boar became situated in the sky in a wonderful manifestation as gigantic as a great elephant. Struck with wonder, I bet, at observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky, Brahma, with great brahmanas like Marichi, as well as the Kumaras and Manu, began to argue in various ways. It's like after a Bhagavatam class that's got some provocative juice to it. Devotees argue in various ways afterwards. So they've got a big pig in the sky. What to do? And is this some extraordinary entity come in the pretense of a boar? It is very wonderful that he has come from my nose. First of all, this boar was seen no bigger than the tip of a thumb, and within a moment he was as large as a stone. My mind is perturbed. Is he the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu? While Brahma was thus deliberating with his sons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu roared tumultuously like a great mountain. Short purport here. It appears that great hills and mountains also have their roaring power because they are also living entities. The volume of the sound vibrated is in proportion to the size of the material body. Although I've heard some very small children produce incredibly high decibel levels, and it seems disproportionate, but anyway. While Brahma was guessing about the appearance of the Lord's incarnation as a boar, the Lord confirmed Brahma's contemplation by roaring with his gorgeous voice. I wasn't able to get this together, but I was thinking, because the internet has everything, I would go on to Google and Google sound of boar roaring and download that sound bite to my computer, put the microphone up so you could hear it through the PA, but couldn't get it. But you can just imagine, anyone who's heard a boar roar knows. No. I can't even begin to imitate it. Anyway, it says his gorgeous voice, and I don't have one of those. The omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead enlivened Brahma and the other highly elevated Brahmanas by again roaring with his uncommon voice, which echoed in all directions. When the great sages and thinkers, who are residents of Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka, heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Bor, which was the all-auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Playing like an elephant, he entered into the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic prayers by the great devotees. The Lord is the object of the Vedic prayers, and thus he understood that the devotees' prayers were meant for him. Before entering the water to rescue the earth, Lord Bor flew in the sky, slashing his tail, his hard hairs quivering. You notice this, when Krishna jumps in the water, he does something first. Like when he's jumping in the river to get Kaliya out of there. He tightens his belt, he flaps his arms, he does some little acrobatic moves, and then he jumps in. So this is what Varahadev is doing. In his boar-like way. Flying in the sky, slashing his tail, hard hairs quivering. His very glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds in the sky with his hooves and his glittering white tusks. There's a painting of this. Very beautiful painting. The Lord Boar's got these long eyelashes, and he's got the earth on his tusks, which, this is another seminar question which I can't answer today, but when the earth fell down in the muck, what happened to everybody on earth? Did they all drown? I don't know. It's not elaborated on. But it would be a dangerous situation. I mean, and probably if the earth fell, we'd be in trouble. He was personally the Supreme Lord Vishnu and was therefore transcendental. Yet because he had the body of a hog, he searched after the earth by smell. That was the clue when Brahma was trying to figure out what to do. How to get the earth out, it's in this mucky place. He came out through his nose, which was sort of like an omen that it's going to be by the sense of smell that I'm going to get that thing. Plus, the sense of smell is connected to the material element of earth. So all these things are connected. Lord Varaha knows what he's doing. His tusks were fearful, and he glanced over the devotee brahmanas engaged in offering prayers. Thus, he entered the water. Diving into the water like a giant mountain, Lord Bor divided the middle of the ocean, and two high waves appeared as the arms of the ocean, which cried loudly as if praying to the Lord, "O Lord of all sacrifices, please do not cut me in two. Kindly give me protection." Even the great ocean was perturbed by the falling of the mountain-like body of the transcendental boar, and it appeared to be frightened as if death were imminent. Lord Boar penetrated the water with his hooves, which were like sharp arrows, and found the limits of the ocean, although it was unlimited. He saw the earth, the resting place for all living beings, lying as it was in the beginning of creation, and he personally lifted it. Lord Boar very easily took the earth on his tusks and got it out of the water. Thus he appeared very splendid. Then, his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel, he immediately killed the demon, Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. Thereupon, this is the last verse I'll read. Thereupon, Lord Boar killed the demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. I always love that about the purple earth. So there are a few things that I wanted to say about this pastime, and then hopefully we can have discussion. That it took me years, but finally I saw that movie March of the Penguins, where all these penguins march 60 miles out to the middle of this chunk of ice in Antarctica, and they have a little romance, and then they split up, and there's ice for 6 months of 100 degree below weather with winds blowing, and they're freezing to death, and they've got their little fins, and they're so fat and white. And I was thinking, they're the only living entity that you see out there on the ice doing it, and it's perfectly designed by Krishna that there's some living entity that's got that desire, needs that body to do that thing, or else what to do with that category of living being. And Krishna designs that body so perfectly. They're so fat, they've got a lot of insulation. None of us could do that. They keep the egg on top of their little feet for months and months and months. If it falls, it freezes instantly. Everything's designed perfectly. They paddle. You know, once they get in the water, they're like fish. They're incredible. Watch these guys go. So if Krishna designs the bodies of material bodies so well, you know that if he's going to come himself, he's going to be perfectly, he's going to design his own form perfectly to do what he needs to do here, which is to get the earth out of some muck. So he goes down there as this big hog. It's incredible. Everybody's, when they see Lord Varaha, they're blown away. Not only is he big, but he's a big pig. He's, whoa! And he's awesome to behold. But designed perfectly for the task at hand, which is rescuing the earth. Seeing on his tusks how the earth got there is another whole story. I was reading how there was a brother of... No, wait, Hiranyaksha was into gold, right? So at that time, he was amassing large quantities of gold, and I guess this has been going on forever, this plundering of gold out of the earth. In fact, I heard at one point Prabhupada was talking with some disciples about how there used to be a subway system between Lanka and South America, because, what's that? Yeah, in Brazil. There's some subway that there's gold being gotten out of Brazil, and they would truck it on over to Lanka because it's the city of gold. You can't ever have enough of the stuff. And the devotees are saying, well, did they go straight through? It said that the center of the earth is molten, and Prabhupada said, no, they went around it. So anybody who's, you can look at Frommer's travel guides for subways through the earth if you really want to make that trip. Because today is Lord Varaha's appearance day, and we're also reading about Bali Maharaj seeing this fantastically large, unimaginably large form of Lord Vamanadeva in the sky, it really got me thinking about beings of tremendous size and why it is that human beings seem to be endlessly fascinated with things of great size, and they flock to places like the Grand Canyon every year to see things that are big and to take pictures of those things. And they see movies about big dinosaurs and big monkeys on the top of the Empire State Building or wherever. What is this fascination for human beings? And part of what I want to talk about today, my gosh, it's 8:35, is these are Leela avatars. This is Krishna playing. Only Krishna can play in the material world. The rest of us get played. You know, we're playing for time. We're playing just to like keep our heads above death. But when Krishna comes, he comes as Lord Boar. He plays in the water. He swishes his tail. His hooves cut in. The ocean's afraid, but don't worry. I'm going to save the earth. He's able to play like this because of this one verse I was reading in the 11th canto. Every Sunday morning, Ravindasrupa Prabhu does a telephone conference, and he's reading this part in the 11th canto where the Avadhuta Brahman is learning from all different living entities about how to be detached from material nature. And this one verse, just as from within himself the spider expands thread through his mouth, plays with it for some time, and eventually swallows it. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands his personal potency from within himself. Thus, the Lord displays the network of cosmic manifestation, utilizes it according to his purpose, and eventually withdraws it completely within himself. So this is how Krishna is able to play. A spider makes his web. It's like this big food-catching unit. And then he's able to walk around on it, wrap things up in it, walk here, walk there. Anybody else goes in that web, they're finished. They're immediately stuck. They can't move. But the spider has got all kind of facility. Go here, go there, go up, and wait, hang out. Something comes up, wrap it up, have that burrito later, whatever. But this is what Krishna is able to do when he comes as a Leela avatar. He's able to play. There's a big, big difference between Krishna and us. We play at playing for a few years. Like the other day I was in St. Augustine. In the middle of town there's this really nice little gazebo, beautiful place to go, and we were chanting Hare Krishna. It was really cold. And there's a family with these little kids. And the little kids were running around the gazebo screaming. They were like 4, 5, 6 years old. And I was watching them scream. I was chanting Hare Krishna, watching them scream, chanting Hare Krishna. And they're having a great time. And I was thinking, there's only a real small window of opportunity for the luckiest human beings to play like that with such abandon. Like, you know? There's nothing but good time. But for Krishna, it's always a good time. And for Krishna's associates, it's always a good time. It's only for those of us who grow up and try to responsibly control our corner of material nature that it's like, very not a good time. So Krishna plays and we can. But when we see other living entities who are good at playing, you know, we cheer them on, the gymnasts who can, you know, do a triple barrel roll somersault, you know, you get the gold medal. You know, you've really done a good job of playing. We admire that in others when we see it. Musicians, entertainers, until they get old and wrinkly, and then we tear them down on the tabloids the next day. Ah, you're no good. We knew it all the while. But Krishna is always playing. Always playing. And the last thing I'll say is that these things, when we hear about Varahadev appearing as this gigantic boar, we have Vamanadev, universal form, expanding from this little boy. Isn't it funny how Krishna, he's got this surprise thing going on. First, he's the tip of a thumb. He says, what is this? And then, boom, big as a stone, big as an elephant, big as the sky, big enough to lift the earth. Wow, what a big surprise. And Vamanadev, same thing. He could have just walked in there as the universal form from the beginning. Okay, I'm taking the kingdom back, forget you, you know? But no, he came as this little boy, little attractive boy. Not just a boy, but a dwarf boy. It's like he's very clever. He know, he's got lots of good ideas. So when we hear about this, it's sometimes hard for us to, because we've got our human minds and our human way of looking at things, we're so boxed in by our conceptions that it's really hard for us to get our minds around this. But not take heart, because I was reading this. This is from 3rd Canto 25:25. And I'll end with this verse, because in it Prabhupada talks about how it is possible to understand Krishna, even though we're disqualified in so many ways. This is Satang Prasangam Manat Virya Sambhido. Bhavanti Hrit Karnaris Sayana Kata Tajjosanarashva Pavarga Vartmani Shradharatir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of God, it is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. What Prabhupada says here is that generally, people are not convinced of the impersonal... No, generally, people are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Because they do not associate with devotees, they cannot understand that the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is a very difficult subject matter, and unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there's no meaning to devotion. Service or devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think that these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees, and by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, his path to liberation is open and he is freed. So that's all we have to do. We have to make, devotees have to make their association available to less fortunate beings, and then even those less fortunate beings can conceive of a big pig in the sky as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you very much. Any more discussion or questions, anything? Madan Mohan.
I was appreciating the humorous ways that you're pointing out that actually Krishna is, he has a sense of humor. It mentioned in a couple of purports ago that Krishna does this as in a joking way. So it's so nice because, as you're pointing out, Krishna keeps things fresh for eternity. You know, it's not like the same thing every day. So he has this humor that you pointed out very nicely.
Yeah, he's spontaneous. You know, we're bound to doing certain things certain ways. You know, you look at your horoscope, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to die. Krishna, he can do whatever he wants at any moment, you know. He can make stuff up. And he does. Yes, to be comfortable.
This pastimes of the Lord Varaha is a little difficult to understand, because sometimes stated that the Lord took the earth from under the ocean and bring it up back to the ocean. So it seems, it depends on the translator, but other place I read where it fell from its orbit into the Garbhodakshayi ocean right at the bottom, and that's where the Lord took it up from. And I mean, that's the best possibly we can understand, because really, if the earth, I mean, it's spinning in space, if it falls, where it's going, you see? So it seems like within the universe, it is covered with half water,
right,
the whole universe, and so it fell into that, really. So that, I mean, that's the proper understanding, you see, and then he brings it back to orbit. And you are saying, well, what happened to all the living entities? Well, it seems like that's mysterious, but they had to die, because if the earth's going to go into the Garbhodakshayi ocean, right? Definitely the, you see, but then sometimes you hear that when it's back in orbit, really, the Lord is conversing with the devotees and things, so where were they? You get it?
I'm not sure I caught the last part.
No, you said you said all the living entities died, or you had asked that question.
Right.
But then within the Parsam it stated that when the Lord brought back the earth, right, in its orbit, right, then he was worshipped by the devotees and so forth. You know, so that's, unless the whole pastime took a long time, you know.
Well, a long time for Krishna is like, how much time is that for us, you know?
Even creation takes a very long time too, you know, yeah. With the species and everything.
Yeah.
But it's within the books as if it's, you know.
And then he came twice, right?
Like within the Bible, 7 days.
Boar, one time is a white boar.
Yeah.
One time, you know, it's described that he fights with the demon with a club. In one place, and another commentator says, wait a minute, no, he got him right behind the ear with the ear with his hoof.
Yeah, different kalpas too, you get different stories, because every kalpa there's a different pastime enacted also.
Yeah, we'll have to see the instant replay on that one. Right, thank you very much, Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Lord Varaha ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.